Persecution karma. Everybody has it. Healing the karma and trauma surrounding persecution is the key to being fully aligned with your mission and your path of light. In this episode, I'm going to explain what persecution karma is, and I'm going to give you three key ways to be able to heal your persecution karma. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Charmed Life Podcast. I am your host. My name is Trisha Carr. I welcome you to this podcast if you're listening on YouTube or on a podcast outlet. And I want to, if you're brand new, say, I want to welcome you. I am a spiritual teacher. I am a metaphysical practitioner. I'm an intuitive, an empathic channel, multidimensional medium, and animal telepath. I'm also a clinical hypnotherapist. And this program, this podcast, is all about really magic and the unconditional love of the universe and being able to have the life that is led by magic, a life of miracles and magic. Well, one way that I find that is sort of along the path of living that fuller life that is magical and what I call the path of light. And what I mean by the path of light, I actually did an episode I'll link below called Christhood and the Path of Light, where I talk about what this path of light is sort of that alignment, that feeling of being on a journey that has meaning and purpose. And it's like this path of light, if you visualize it, kind of like a yellow brick road, but much more luminous, you know? And that light path that is yours uniquely, and it's magnetic, and it is moving you forward, and it is also magnetizing those footfalls in the journey. And to be able to be on that is satisfying, fulfilling, and it's what you're here to do. So that's what I mean. This is just something that I say. I don't know if anybody else is saying it, but this path of light, I think it's what we're all, every single human, is really wanting to connect with when we say, what is my life's purpose, or how to have a meaningful life, or what is the meaning of life, an age-old question. Well, to be able to have that flowing for you, then one thing that I have just recently channeled, as a matter of fact, heard from my team of spirit, from guides, is this concept of persecution karma. Well, let's first talk about what persecution is, the first word in this phrase, persecution karma. And persecution, according to the dictionary, persecution is a program or a campaign to exterminate, drive away, or subjugate people based on their membership in a religious, ethnic, social, or racial group. That's how the definition, that's how the dictionary defines it. And I think we can loosen that up a little bit even. Well, I mean, it's also saying membership, and it's talking about social, ethnic, racial, but also religious, or we could just say spiritual. So you can see how this kind of aligns with this concept of spiritual seeking and your spirituality. And if your spiritual expression, which this podcast is all about spirituality, if it is somehow your brand of it, is not aligned with someone else's brand or their religion or their atheism or agnosticism, and then you are rejected because of it, that would provoke a kind of persecution, a sense of being persecuted, to be exterminated or rejected. It might be another, a softer word to use. When you're rejected, you feel like you are being invalidated. You feel like you are being cast aside or away, being rejected from a relationship. So you no longer in that relationship, you are exterminated, to expand upon this idea of persecution. Now, let's talk about karma just for a second. Karma is, I think, maybe casually thought of as what goes around comes around. And it's like a wheel of punishment. You deserve certain things because of some past sins or wrongs. And I don't really align with it in that way. What karma really is patterns. Karma happens because we are attempting to expand, you know, this path of light, so that it doesn't feel so narrow and it's a bit broader and it's more comfortable, and it is actually encompassing more experience. And as it expands, as you expand, then the universe expands. And so what karma is, is us going into the life and the journey to explore and to even pursue divine virtues, as I can't remember who calls it that. Pardon me if you recognize that. I would attribute if I remembered who that was. Remember, it's a writer who's male. But anyway, if I remember it, I'll put it in below. But he calls them divine virtues, and these just concepts of maybe what it from a pre-birth perspective, where we would, with this blueprint of a life and an incarnation, and we have an interest in exploring certain ways that we can become more and contribute more to the universe. Divine virtues, maybe that is to be more empowered, maybe that is to be more compassionate, just for example. It could be any number of divine virtues, however you want to look at it. But just this concept of it going into an experience with a virtue that you want to acquire, a character credit, to be able to enrich yourself and thereby enrich your contribution to the universe. And as you go into the life with that intention, and then there is some kind of rebuffing, persecution, trauma, some kind of way that you are injured, and then it creates a kind of a click, a chink in the energy makeup, the trauma does, and then it can be that a pattern is created, because when we are traumatized, however great or small, and the trauma can be just your own perception of it. It could not be that someone was actually doing something wrong. It was a time when you were attempting to grow and you misperceived. You know what I mean? Like, there's no point in, when we're looking at these concepts generally, to think about everything as black and white, right and wrong. That's why I bring in these alternative perspectives, that it could be just your perspective, what you perceived as trauma. And as the injury is there in the psyche, and then the psyche sort of puts it away because there's fear around it. We don't want that to happen again. Puts it away in the shadow. And Crystal Ann Compton and I just did an episode on shadow work, if you want to go and review a little bit about what shadow work is. So we put something in the shadow so that we don't, because the intention is to not experience it anymore. But in fact, that unhealed aspect will always want to be healed. And so it shows up as a pattern. And then we have patterns in our life. In an effort, you are attracted to these things, as well as just the synchronization of the universe needing something to be healed in each and every component of it, including you. Then a pattern, a new event will show up. It'll come up in another way. This traumatic thing, and this wheel inside just the life. This is karma. It's patterns. Based upon the intention to expand and explore. And perhaps then we have to do it a couple of times or more, or 1,000, in order to see it. So yeah, karma can stretch through one life, and it can stretch through many lives. That's sure. Yeah, if you see that the energy continues to create different incarnations, whether we see time as linear or quantum and happening in all simultaneous directions, the energy is connected in different ways. And so we can be picking up on those things. And another way that we can experience karma from past lives, per se, is because we have ancestral connection to karma or trauma, because we do inherit energy, beliefs, and physical DNA biology from our ancestors, and the energy memory in all of that is present. And it's like I say, it is biology, but it's also just energy, because epigenetics is, a branch of science. It's on the newer side, but it is validating, 100% validating and validated. And epigenetics observes that children who are in adoptive parents, in an adoptive family, people who are adopted, they inherit their non-biological family's hereditary diseases. And I'm using the air quotes for hereditary, because if they are not biologically linked, then that it doesn't really make sense they would inherit a hereditary disease. But they do, because it's energy. Now, once again, when we're thinking of these things like karma, we have to release ourselves from right and wrong, good and bad, deserved and undeserved, worthy and unworthy. Okay, so there you have it. a little observation on what persecution is and what karma is. So persecution trauma or persecution karma, I might use those words a little interchangeably for this episode. It's a fear of being persecuted for how you express who you are. Now, go back to the definition of persecution, an attempt to exterminate people, a campaign or a program to exterminate because of someone's social affiliation, religious affiliation, race or ethnic group. So social affiliation and spiritual affiliation may be a bit more pertinent in what we're talking about here, as this is a, you know, subject of spirituality and metaphysics. So everyone does have persecution karma and a sense, a trauma around persecution. It just happens. You know, when you are a child and maybe you are dancing or singing, or maybe you're reading a book and that is somehow not what other people want to experience from you from their own personal opinion, and you are criticized for it. That can create a little bit of persecution, feeling of persecution for being rejected for how you express yourself. And it feels like it's for being who you really are, because it felt natural to express yourself in that way, or to even just be, you know, who you are. So like all negative patterns and beliefs, this stems from a traumatic event in which you were rejected or abused for somehow expressing yourself or being your true self, being something that aligned with your true self. And healing this persecution, this fear and this belief about being rejected and abused for expressing who you are, healing your persecution karma, it really is the key to being really freely and fully on that path of light, or moving in your life with confidence and empowerment, and to be able to pursue your goals, your dreams, and your passions, and who you really, in the way that you really are, the way you're designed, and the way you're designing yourself to. You can say designed as, you know, from a creator perspective, but you are a co-creator, and so how you are designing yourself in the way that lights you up the most. We need to be able to heal the karma around persecution. So what does it look like? Well, whether it shows up, by the way, I should say, if it shows up as past life sort of imagery, or if it's from this life, the fact is that what's most important is that we want to look at it for the ways that you've picked up certain imprints or beliefs about persecution and needing to inhibit yourself so that you're not persecuted. And the fact is that whether it is past life or not, your past life or parallel lives, they're always showing up in this life. So you can look at it from the metaphysical perspective or the quantum time perspective and look at past lives, but it's showing up here. And that's what I think the benefit is of looking at past or parallel lives, is that that isn't actually happening in your physical now. And so you can have a little more objectivity about that imagery, about that past, yet really allow the imagery and the emotional content to be very bright and then inform what's going on in this life. And then, it can be an overlay to help to jostle what's happening in this life. So here's the thing. When people begin to sort of open up metaphysically, or, you know, Crystal Ann Compton, my best friend and business partner, we do these programs to help people to open their intuitive abilities in the various ways. And some people will go from not really knowing they had any psychic abilities to, at the end of our program, ready to become, you know, to do it full time and maybe do it professionally, but just like their life, they've seen the evidences and they feel that genuine, and they've seen the outcome of this genuine expression of themselves. But they have a life that's built around themselves that did not previously include them expressing themselves in this way. And so this idea of, how do I come out of the closet? And am I going to be rejected? And are people going to think I'm crazy or not want to be in a relationship with me or be fearful of it? It's really common. And there's like the kind of coined a phrase coming out of the broom closet, you know, to like witches with brooms, you know. So it's actually also common that when we're metaphysically opening, and if you are in this sort of seeking, which includes magical, intuitive and psychic abilities and being able to connect with energies that are parallel or, you know, in the realm of spirit and energy. So mediumship or talking to your spirit guides, metaphysical kind of experiencing. It's really common that then if you do a past or parallel life review, that you will bring up, oh, I was a witch and I was burned at the stake. Those are really common for people who are opening up metaphysically. I reviewed one of those when I was opening up in my intuitive abilities and, you know, spiritual exploration. I remember there's a book of Joe Dispenza's. I think it may be Becoming Supernatural or something like that. One that's pretty recent. It just came out about a year ago or maybe two. I'm sorry. I will link the book below since I'm referencing it. But I remember at the beginning of that book, he is talking about an imagery journey, a meditation or a hypno journey that he did at a certain point. And he was being persecuted. He was being like, I think he was being locked in a you know, like guillotine or something like that, or whatever those things are called, and being persecuted for being a teacher of, I don't remember if it was a spiritual teacher or a teacher of knowledge of some kind. So it was a persecution past life that he reviewed. And the book really kind of set it up because that book, he was really kind of coming out a bit more metaphysically than he ever had been, even though his previous books were very much, I think, in alignment with it, but he was kind of really coming out about it in that very book. So he was healing his persecution karma. Now, let's talk a little bit about what it looks like to have the persecution karma. So here are a few signs that you are dealing with some persecution karma in your life at this time. Some of the signs might be that you're feeling competitive, suspicious, anxious, anything along those lines. It can be pointed at anything, maybe even overly skeptical. Could be skeptical about spirituality. It could be skeptical about people who aren't in your own. It's almost like the other side of the coin, you know, other people who are not in your circle or that which you feel comfortable with. That's persecution karma. So if you're hearing this and you're thinking, wait, that sounds like the people who actually persecute. Yes, of course. A person who is actually persecuting another, it has persecution karma. They are afraid themselves of being rejected. And so they are interested, if we think of it in like this old-fashioned sense of you know, the government in the Dark Ages, the powers that be actually burning witches at the stake, you know, people, particularly, especially women, but there were men as well, who were called witches because the way that they lived or expressed themselves, threatened the authority of the way that the powers that be wanted to live in. So that is them defending their own group or their own mindset or way of expressing. And so it is this two sides of the same coin. So if you are feeling competitive, suspicious, anxious, or overly conspiratorial, overly skeptical about anything outside of your own, you know, mindset, your own construct. So that was the first one, but the second one is actually just being overly conspiratorial and feeling blaming and shaming. All right. So another one would be having really strong fears of survival fears, or an inability to trust the process of creation, the process of how things are flowing, and an inability to just engage with the creation process, feeling that kind of rigidity around survival or an extreme fear of it. And then another one would be being fearful of speaking what is true for you, or to be able to make decisions that are in alignment with what makes you happy. So I'll run that down again. These are just a few, just to provoke some other ideas about it. Feeling competitive, suspicious, or anxious, feeling overly conspiratorial, or I say feeling, but also behaving. Having extreme survival fears or an inability to trust the process or to engage with the creation process. Being fearful of speaking your truth, your reality, or to be able to make decisions that are in alignment with what makes you happy and fulfilled. These are some signs of persecution karma. So it inhibits us, persecution karma inhibits us from fully embodying that mission or that feeling of being able to move from having a life that is full of meaning. And it causes us to feel uneasy about our actions, uneasy about anything that we're studying or exploring, or to be able to express it into the world, or even uneasy about our identity and to the source of energies rather than the energies of what is happening here. So rather than the energies of this 3D matrix of or conditioning, it becomes an either or, like there is an us versus them or a me versus them situation, because we're feeling like we need to separate ourselves. And that could be, again, like you're alone, or grouping yourself away from others because the them is dangerous. And so it's important for us to heal this persecution karma so we can feel freely ourselves, to express ourselves freely. And now to that list of signs of having persecution karma, I will add one more, standing on its own a little bit, and that would be if you're fearful of doing shadow work. Now, again, the very recent episode I posted with Crystal Ann Compton, we talked about shadow work and what the shadow is in this case is, Carl Jung described it as basically the unconscious mind. When we experience something that is traumatic, we put away a part of ourselves into the shadow so that it won't be expressed anymore. See how that's directly related to what we're understanding about karma. So if we're afraid of doing shadow work, of going into the pain that we may be holding in this reservoir of the shadow, then and really wanting to just sort of spiritually bypass and only focus on light, love, light, love, you know, and I talk about love and light, so I'm not making fun of anyone in particular, but really just bypassing any of that deeper work and being distracting and deflecting from doing this deeper work, that is a persecution karma trait, because going into that and opening it up, it seems, at least in the unconscious, seems like it's going to make you vulnerable to that persecution again. When you have healed persecution karma, here are some of the positive traits. When you have healed persecution trauma, and then I'm going to tell you some three key ways to actually do the work. You can think of many more than the ones I'll offer, though, I'm sure, and maybe you already are. So when you've healed persecution karma, you'll be able to live in gratitude and hope. Gratitude and hope. Y'all, these are both important practices. We talk about gratitude. We talk about having a gratitude practice. I'm very soon going to break down that it's also important to have a hope practice. Hope is a positive outlook, heart open, positive expectations. And it doesn't mean to be, checked out and unintelligent to be living in hope. But living in deep skepticism is a separation energy. So you can be informed and intelligent and still live in gratitude and hope. You can live in gratitude and still be pursuing greater goals and not being arrogant as well. These are the two things that might threaten the energy of gratitude is, am I going to be arrogant if I'm grateful? Or am I going to be lazy if I'm too grateful? No, in fact, gratitude is a magnetic quality. Hope is a magnetic quality. So having healed persecution karma, you are more easily and freely able to live in gratitude and hope. You're easily giving yourself and others grace, compassion, and respect, yourself and others. Even if someone has a different opinion or experience than you, it doesn't make you feel threatened like you need to change their opinion. It doesn't make you feel fearful like you're going to be rejected, and it doesn't make you feel like you need to separate yourself from them just because we have different perspectives. Grace, compassion, and respect. You're able to think critically and live spiritually, think critically and live spiritually. These things are not diametrically opposed. Spirituality is meant to fulfill our life as a human being. Part of our consciousness is subconscious, part of our consciousness is conscious, and part of our consciousness is critical thinking. And we want to work fully from the whole consciousness. So critical thinking is an important part. Being overly astral or spiritually bypassing, that is not what spirituality is meant to do. It's not meant to keep us from, like, living in faith does not keep us from living in science as well. You see, science is actually a pursuit of, by faith, for something that is evidential. It's really the creation process. So, summing that up, able to think critically and live spiritually, both of these. All right. Another way that you'll be able to experience yourself healed from persecution karma, feeling confident in directing your own life, empowered and confident to make decisions and to express yourself and just direct your own life in alignment, as opposed to maybe some of those survival fears. And, you know, we're always clearing this. I'm not saying that I don't have survival fears, of course. But, oh my goodness, I almost feel like I don't right now because of how profound my survival fears were before. Now I have a habit of energy where I can better discover when I'm kicking into survival fear. But it's still there, of course. But, you know, there's always, it's like peeling an onion. There are always layers, and the path is a spiral. So being able to feel confident in directing your own life. Yes, please. Right? Yes, please. You're able to pursue dreams and having a positive outlook for yourself and the world. A positive outlook for the world. Once again, this doesn't negate the fact that there is suffering. This doesn't negate the fact that there is work to do to purge ourselves of these different ways that we have engaged with persecuting others. Yes, meaning individually and collectively. Yes, it is. But still being able to fuel that with a positive, hopeful outlook for yourself and the world. That's going to get the work done. That's going to allow us to be open to doing that work. Another sign is that you may be able to take calculated risks if necessary. You see, if you want to pursue your dreams and direct your life in the way that is in alignment with your true love and passion and desires, and if you don't like the word desires, then say talents and skills and the skills that you're building, your intelligence and your wisdom, you still can take calculated risks. Why? Because you have a positive outlook. And also, you have grace and compassion. So if it is a mistake, that calculated risk, that's okay because you get another take. That's what living in a present moment, kind of God moment, is all about, being able to give yourself grace and compassion, give yourself the capacity to learn and grow and even make mistakes if that happens sometimes. So you're okay with taking calculated risks. Maybe comfortable is a strong word, but maybe comfortable is not too strong of a word. And if you are able to take calculated risks in order to direct your own life, that is because you have been healed to some degree of this persecution karma. And finally, you're able to love yourself into the growth that you need. What I mean by this is, you know, a while back when I was still working in my old career and transitioning to this career full time, and I was in meditation and I was in a deeper healing imagery journey, talking with my guides, and I held a vision of how do I get there? Like, honestly, here, you know, how do I get there? How can I shed that old career? And also the survival fears that I had that were attendant there. And how do I get here? And they said to me simply, love yourself into it. Love yourself there. That's what I mean, that being able to heal this persecution karma means that you're able to love yourself into the growth that you need. And as I promised, let's talk about three ways to clear persecution karma. First, I want to say that it may be pretty obvious, but it is working in and with your energy to clear it, to heal, and to raise your vibration. daily, y'all, working in your own energy. And if you're like, I don't know how to do that, if that's where you are, then just go sign up for a meditation course. Get Insight Timer and sit in a guided meditation for a while. I'll post below a link to my playlist, or you can just find it if I forget to post it. There's a playlist of meditations on this YouTube channel. And, you know, on if you're listening on the podcast, there's different ones, but you don't have to. I'm not trying to even just take you to direct you to me. Go on Insight Timer, find some kind of, there's a free meditation course on my website. I'm just thinking of some resources for you, but find ways to be in your own energy, to get into who it is that you are. And if you are, even if you are an advanced practitioner of the metaphysical arts, we need to increase it. I'm saying this to myself as well. We need to spend more time in our energy, more time. And time is just a construct that helps us to get deeper. But also the consistency of it, so that we are interrupting our identity to the outside world, because that if that is primary over our own identity of the truth of who it is that we are, then we're not going to be able to both live spiritually and have critical thinking. You know, we're going to be pulled at and have things deposited into our subconscious mind, beliefs from the outside world that will be poisonous to us. I have an episode where we talk about this. We talk about a thought virus that is going around right now. And I don't want to get too much into that, but if you haven't listened to it, then, and whatever order you're listening to, I really want to highlight that all of this defensiveness around this, this really has to do with persecution karma. So working in your own energy consistently, daily and more than daily, meaning many times in a day. And this is to clear your energy of the pollutants, of the toxicity, of the static. This is to call back your energy in places that you have given it away and made yourself deficient. This is to heal the rips and tears and traumas of your energy, and to raise your vibration. All of those things equal raising your vibration, meaning being closer to the vibration of Creator, love, God, whatever you want to call it, but the unity consciousness, that whole, holy, holistic experience. Because if your vibration is raised higher, that means you're pulling on more of the whole, of the all that you are. Second, really a great way to do this is to be in a community of validating, loving, and high vibrational people. Now, this may seem on first glance a bit contradictory to what I said, that, oh, if you're feeling separated and defensive against others, or whether it's you, you know, you separating yourself individually or separating off a group of people who have a like mindset. But see, you can be in a community of loving, accepting, validating, and high vibrational people with similar ways that they express themselves, and still be accepting of the whole wide world and everybody else who has different mindset, different beliefs, different ways that they express themselves. So being able to be in a group of some kind does not negate, does not necessarily have to be separating, you see? But being able to be in a space where you're really comfortable, a community where you're really comfortable expressing yourself in your true way, will give you the practice to do it in the rest of the world, you see? So being able to really have that validation and freedom to fully express yourself. If you think about it, if you were in a dance company and you had the context to be able to dance, you know, full out in all of these times, well, then when it came time to dance in a wedding, you feel more confident to do it, right? If that metaphor works for you. And that's what a community will help you to be, though. And it helps you to feel, just to take the idea of belonging and being accepted and taking that out into the world, having others belong with you and accepting others, so that we can raise that frequency in the world. That is a way to heal persecution karma, is to feel like you can express who you are and have others validated as well. Third way is to become more educated about the different things that you are feeling or are in alignment with how you express yourself. Become more educated so you can access it with confidence, with grace, with respect for others. And also, I'll say again, have critical thinking. So what does this mean? What am I talking about? So I am, you know, I'm a metaphysical practitioner. So I'm an intuitive, I'm a medium and animal communicator. And there's really like no limit to learning about this. And so that took me into also becoming a hypnotherapist, because working with the subconscious mind and your mental and emotional energy, that's the same as working in the creative and the intuitive energies. And so there's no end to what you can learn about whatever it is that you are doing. Once again, taking the metaphor of a dance company, the more you practiced and learned and developed skills around dancing, the better you're going to feel about it. And if someone says, why do you want to be a dancer? And if you were, maybe if you were like, well, because it improves my health this way and it does this, and, you know, and you could talk about it intelligently and you don't have to feel defensive, you can find a way to just illuminate someone about it rather than feeling like there is a separation between the two of you because you have different perspectives and you have different understandings. So learning more, being more educated to access your beingness, you're expressing who you are with confidence, with grace. You don't have to feel like, oh, someone thinks that I'm less than or dumb because, you know, I am, you know, I'm a psychic and stuff. Well, if you know everything there is, not everything, but if you know so much about this, about psychism, about the psychic field, and about universal architecture, if you really understand that and the education feels so good, then someone's just going to be interested in what it is that you have to say or not. But still, you are not threatened by their disinterest by it because you feel good. You feel confident. You just feel like, oh, okay, well, I respect you. I mean, I respect me. So it just builds that confidence and it builds the empowerment, builds the groundedness. All right. So let me review these 3 ways to clear persecution karma: working with your energy to clear, heal, and raise your vibration on the regular, daily at least, but really more than daily. 2, being in a community of validating, loving, and high vibrational people who have similar interests while not separating yourself from the rest of the world, in your heart at least. And 3, become more educated so that you can access all that it is, the way that you express yourself with confidence, grace, respect for others, and with critical thinking. All right, guys. That's what I have to say to you about it. Feels so good, and it is a life's work to heal trauma and to heal karma surrounding persecution. And it brings us to that reality, which is we're all just one. This energy is one. Love is one. And when we feel something other than that, then we feel suffering. So I encourage you to do any and all of those things. Ooh, and I'm going to have to tell you now, one way that you can do all 3 of those things: work in your energy, be in a community of validating, loving, high vibrational, and to become more educated so you can access these pursuits and expressions with grace, confidence, love, respect, and critical thinking, is to be in the Intuitive Intensive. The 2021 Intuitive Intensive is coming up real soon. Registration is open right now. And just check out the link. It really includes all of those things if it interests you at all. I'm going to play some testimonials at the end of this, but go read all about it. That's going to do more than anything I could just tell you here. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope this resonated with you. I hope you feel hopeful, because it is all working toward expansion and to a greater connection. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode. Please subscribe, like, share, comment, and check out also the Light Shine podcast, links below. Thanks for tuning in. I love you, whoever you are. Hey everyone, it's that time of year again. Time for the Intuitive Intensive. The Intuitive Intensive is a 12-week immersive educational and group coaching program designed to blast open your psychic intuitive abilities.
I have found my purpose and my calling. And I had no idea until the intensive that this was my purpose or my calling.
If you get lit up by it and you get excited by it, just do it. Just do it.
So hell yeah, do it. Sign up right now. You have to do this right now.
Class begins January 18th, 2021. Registration is open now and all levels of development are welcome. Serious students only. This program is taught by myself, Trisha Carr, and Crystal Ann Compton. Find the link to read more and register in the description below. We hope to see you in class.